Thank you, Mark.
Just plop up around here.
You might need it a bit taller.
That's all right, yeah, that's fine. So if I come in the middle, I can see around. Fantastic. There we are, just giving you a second with the technology. Okay. What would we do without it? Oh, what an amazing world we live in. And you know, if we ever doubted it, I'm sure that every one of us knows this belief is that we're living in end times. Mm. We really are, aren't we? Mm. The Lord's on his way back, and we've got to be ready. And we see what's going on, don't we, in the world, the conflict that's going on in Israel and in Gaza. There's Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, and of course, the Georgian people are beginning to get a little bit worried that he's going to start to think about that. And the thing that troubled me, I think, from the news just a while ago, was that Putin has allied himself with Xi Jinping in China. And of course, put in the mix with that, you've got Iran. And those three countries, they've got an absolute hatred of Israel. Why? Because Israel is allied to us here in the West. And you know, there's uncertain times going on here in the West as well, isn't there? On the 4th of July, of course, we shall go to the polls to elect a new government. Just a little bit later on down the line, for you guys in America, you've got Trump or Biden. I'm not sure which is the better, but there we are. And you know, that very point is something that we need to think about, because I've found myself praying just lately, not for parties, not for politics in that sense, but I've been praying that God will raise up godly men and women who will lead. Just like this guy, Daniel. So with that in mind, let's just come to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the passage. I just want to share a word that Rob said to me this morning. And it comes from Psalm 91, because I think it's applicable to Daniel as well. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Lord, we pray today for this passage. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us mightily through it today. Amen. Well, as I said, when we look at the Bible and we look at this passage from Daniel, we can't help but see a man of honesty, man of integrity. His whole life was a reflection of his love and obedience to Almighty God, something that he carried over into his dealings in the world, his dealings with the people that he found himself working for as an exile. And we have to remember that this Daniel's been elevated to a position through Nebuchadnezzar and now through Darius, but he was in exile. He was there as a punishment, wasn't he? And the interesting thing is that when we think about world affairs and we see how God, when we look back over things, how God has had rule and reign over things, in 593, which was before my time, of course, for all its might and power, God had brought a close to the Babylonian Empire. He said, enough. Its king, that head of gold that, if you remember from back in Daniel 2, that had been deposed. It had been deposed by the Medes and the Persians. And if you're not sure who the Medes are, I don't know what it's been mentioned to, but Kurdistan in the north of Iran. They are the Medes. Chapter 5 tells us God called time on this once great empire in favour of another nation. That nation, as of course we know today, I've mentioned it, Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, opposed to the things of God. We could say for the Babylonians, if you go back to chapter 5, that the writing was well and truly on the wall for them, wasn't it? But of course, as we look at world affairs today, it's troubling because we can be fooled into thinking that Satan has a whip hand over everything. But what we must never forget is that God is sovereign, and it's him. He alone is the one who has rule, who has reign over the affairs of all things and of all men. And whatever he does, is always done to his greater glory in order to bring about his will and purpose. And we know what that is. God's will and purpose is to defeat all who are opposed to him. And that's clear through Daniel, isn't it? And that's why when we think about the challenging times that we live in today, these uncertain times, that we need, just like Daniel, to trust God and to live in obedience to him. Glorifying, worshipping as we've done this morning, in reverence and awe. I was struck this week with a reading from the scriptures from Chronicles that I was looking at. It was the story, I won't go too deeply into it because I don't want to come out with the story of this, but of the time when David decided it was right to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And if you can remember, they stuck it on a cart. And a young guy called Uzziah, he touched the cart, bang, gone. And he said, oh, that's dreadful. Poor innocent chap. Well, the problem lay with David, because the problem was he didn't do what the Bible says. The ark was not to be put on a cart to be transported. It was to be carried on poles. So straight away, the reverence and the awe of God is dismissed. And you know, we tend to do that today in the world, don't we? We tend to dismiss things which we shouldn't do, because we worship a holy, holy God. And one day we will see and be with that holy, holy God. And we come back to Daniel, and Daniel had that right reverence and awe of Almighty God. And he'd had that from his teenage years, from that time when he was taken, probably by force, into exile, into Babylon. His name changed, his whole identity changed. He was told to conform to the Babylonian way of living, the Babylonian society. Yet what we've seen so far in Daniel, even from a young age, is a godly man. A man of honesty, a man of integrity, a man who worshipped and served the living God and put him first. And I believe what we see in Daniel is an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through so strongly, doesn't it? The one who, through all of the prophetic imagery that we see through the book of Daniel, in the end, when everything's defeated and brought under his authority, Jesus will reign supreme. Not the world, Jesus. And you know, the challenge for us as God's people living as we do today in a sinful world, that's only going to get more and more challenging as end times approach, is that we display that same godliness, that same integrity and steadfast devotion to God that Daniel showed throughout his life. So there's a challenge straight away there for us, isn't there? Will the world see in us lives that are devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one true King? And as we're devoted to him, then are we devoted to one another? That's a big question, isn't it? And verses 1 to 9 that Ali read to us, the challenge for us as Christians is at times you and I need to be prepared to say no. It's easy to say yes to the world, isn't it? But we need, as Christians, to be saying no. You know, when we look at Daniel, what we see is a man who, in order to serve God and to do his will with absolute integrity, is a man who wasn't afraid to say no, even if it meant the fiery furnace, even as we'll see today, if it meant the lion's den. These first few verses in Daniel 6, although this was a new regime under God's divine hand, Daniel's honesty and his qualities of administration had distinguished him, and it had elevated him to a position of power, a little bit like Joseph when we go back to Egypt. The king promoted Daniel to high office. And we can imagine, can't we, these satraps, these bureaucrats, they were obviously thinking, oh, we can make a bob or two here by our position. And of course they've come up against a man who's full of honesty, full of integrity. And he wasn't going to suffer falls gladly. So, of course, their corruption meant that Daniel was a threat to them. And you know, we see that today, don't we, in the world, don't we? When the world comes up against godliness, when it comes up against holiness, honesty and integrity, when it's those things are seen being lived out among you and I, then people's dishonesty is shown up. And they become threatened. And so they look for ways to discredit us. And we can see that right the way across society today. You know, when we challenge the world's thinking on issues that are so liberal in their thinking, you think what's happened over the last, 10, 15, 20 years maybe, in education, how the LGBT brigade have got into the schools, how they've really messed up young children's minds. Mm-hmm. And then we think about abortion, how that was debated. And now the Isle of Man, of course, they're debating whether or not euthanasia should be legalised. All of these things that go against the will of God. And the thing is, when we say no, when you and I stand up as Christians and say, no, we're not going to put up with this, what we're effectively doing is we're opening the den of the lions, ready for folks to push us in, if you like. And Jesus reminds us, doesn't he? He says this, if we want to follow him, then what have we got to do? Take up our cross. And let's face it, nobody fancies doing that, really, do we? Because we know what the cross means. Those that went to the cross, they never came off unless they were dead. You know, the only way that these jealous, corrupt officials were ever going to discredit Daniel was to hatch some plan that would trap him into having to make a choice. He either continued serving the living God with integrity, or he compromised his faith and his witness of Almighty God. If you look at verses 4 and 5, you see what I mean there. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against the man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. It's interesting, Alison mentioned this morning about giving a testimony. You said if anybody wants to give their testimony, it would be great. And I wonder, is that something that you do? Is when people ask you about your faith, that you actually give them your testimony? And if you're a Christian, then you'll have a testimony. Every one of us has got a testimony of all that God's done for us in bringing us by his grace out of the darkness of sin, out into the wonderful light of his presence. So as such, you and I, every one of us here this morning, we're witnesses together of the cross of Christ, the cross that set us free from sin and death. And in my preparation, I was reading a commentary by a guy called Stuart Olliott, who's a pretty straight down the line Christian teacher. And Stuart Olliott was talking about Daniel, and he makes this point about the choice that Daniel was faced with. Had he chosen to comply with the king's edict, and you could imagine that edict that he made, that there could have been several ways that Daniel might have sort of negated that sort of problem that he was going to have. But if he'd done that, he'd have compromised his testimony. He'd have compromised his witness of God's amazing grace and mercy. Daniel's integrity and godly character would have been called into question then by those of his accusers. When we think about it, when you and I compromise on issues that go against God's word, maybe we're a little bit tempted to go along with the crowd, with the popular trends that are filtering into the church, especially into the Church of England. I think not so bad in the Free Church, but certainly through the Church of England. Rather than being like Daniel and trusting in God's protection, being prepared to say no to the world, whatever the outcome might be. I was thinking of that couple in Ireland some years ago now. Do you remember they made a cake, or somebody asked them to make a cake, and they refused to put a slogan on top of it. And of course they got absolutely slaughtered in the press, didn't they? But you know, if we hold on to the truth, then our testimony before men of what God has done in our lives, it's very, very powerful. Because the world's going to have to stop and look at us and say, actually, these people have got real integrity here. They really have. They've got a great way of standing up for what they believe in. They may not agree with us, of course, but it's still a powerful witness. So that's the first thing today. Just like Daniel, at times we're to say no. Then we come to verses 10 to 15. How do we face up ourselves to laws today that go against the word of God? Laws that threaten us as Christians. And I think this is where we can learn and be really encouraged by Daniel's godly reaction to what, in his day, was this absolutely ridiculous edict that the king had been tricked into passing, this law. Wonder what we might do today if we were Daniel and we've been threatened because of our faith, just like that couple in Ireland and some of the teachers that have been sacked because they've stood up in the classroom for the Lord. What would we do? Would we complain? We love to complain, don't we? I think it's a British pastime, complaining. Write to our MP. Well, that's no good at the moment because Parliament's been dissolved anyway. Send a letter to the papers. Well, if you send a letter to the papers, you can bet there'll be 10 letters come back against you. Or do we follow Daniel's example and we pray? This wasn't something new for Daniel. I'm guessing here Daniel's probably in his late 60s maybe. We've got through the Babylonian time and now into the Medes and the Persians. So 50, 60 years on, every day Daniel has done the same thing. He's gone to his room. He's opened a window that faced Jerusalem. He's fallen on his knees. And three times a day, he's prayed to God. See that in verse 10. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Do you notice there? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. Even though this very act of praying under this edict was a threat to him. There's a challenge straight away, isn't there? Do we pray when we're threatened? Is our natural reaction when we're challenged to fall on our knees in prayer? Giving thanks. As it Paul says, we're to pray in all circumstances, giving thanks. And you know, Daniel's unwavering example to pray has come from those many, many, many years of trusting and depending on God, the one he looked to, the one who guided him, strengthened him in whatever lay ahead. Because Daniel had the sure knowledge that God was with him. I couldn't help but notice that board over there. God says, I will carry you, I've made you, I'll sustain you and I'll rescue you. Those are the things that Daniel knew in his heart through prayer. Through prayer, not a shopping list, but prayer, and a prayer that began with giving thanks. Well, one thing, of course, that we know as Christians is that behind every sinful act, just like this ridiculous edict that the king had made, is Satan. You know, we underestimate Satan these days. One of the things that, what is his trick, if you like, is that he's blinded this nation and the world, I think, to the fact that he exists. You ask people today about the devil, well, I don't believe in him. Or they see this silly little character with horns sticking out of his head. But you know, when you look at the world today, this whole story of Daniel is very sort of a catalyst, if you like, of what's going on in the world. Because in reality, this edict that the king made, it went much, much further than just getting rid of one man, this man Daniel. And there's overtures here in Daniel of the Antichrist's desire to blot Israel out completely. I don't know whether you picked up that up when you were reading through it. Because you see, this law, this edict, meant that for the next 30 days, potentially, all the Jewish exiles, all who prayed, faced being thrown to the lions. Not just one man, it's a whole nation. And we see in what's happening in the world today that just one sinful act affects others. You know, we saw that, didn't we, in October the 7th, when Hamas decided to nip over the border into Israel and destroy many, many people. We think about it with Putin stepping over the border into Ukraine and causing a war. And I don't know whether you've ever thought of sin in this sort of way. If you've ever been to the Lake District, because that's a good example of it, and you look at a really nice still lake, if you were to pick up a stone, as my son once did when we were up there, and it was all quiet and I was watching the birds, and all of a sudden there was this great big splosh in the lake, a water spout shot up. Well, that's a bit like sin, isn't it? When sin hits, bang. But then what happens? Water goes down and the ripples go out. And of course, when you think of sin like that, you get that one explosion, but then the ripples go out and it affects others. And that's exactly what's happening here. Just what happens here. These men, their one sinful act was about, or could potentially have destroyed a whole nation. And, you know, these corrupt men, Ali read it here in scriptures, they wasted absolutely no time in going to the king and saying, didn't you pass a law that said this, blah, 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 blah. And of course, he had. Now we're going to get absolutely bombarded in the media between now and the 4th of July with all of the politicians. And I really pray it doesn't come into a slanging match between left, right, centre, green, whatever. But, you know, when you listen to politicians, when a politician wants to discredit a member of the opposition, they never mention what that individual may have done in the past. You know, some of the good things they may have done in politics. But they always, just like here, in verse 13, they say things that call into question the person's honesty, their integrity, their loyalty. Verse 13, they went to the king and said, he pays no attention to you, does this man Daniel. He continues to defy you. He still prays three times a day. And that's, of course, then brought attention, hasn't it? Because the king knows what Daniel's like. But he's brought this stupid law. So he's got to fulfill it. The actions of a foolish king meant Daniel had to face the reality of the lion's den. Well, we might not face that reality ourselves of going into a lion's den, but as Christians, we do face a world where, although on the cross Jesus has dealt Satan a death blow, until he comes again and calls time on all things, including Satan, we can expect the devil to use all manner of things against us to get us to renounce our faith, to renounce Christ. James chapter 4, verse 7. It's a great verse. It's a challenging verse. And it trips off the tongue, but it's one that really challenges. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's a challenge, isn't it? Resist the devil and he will flee from him. And you know, Daniel's a great example to us as someone who was prepared in the Lord's strength to stand up to sin, the world and the devil and say no. No to all the evil influences that were around him. But I also believe Daniel 6 should be a warning to us. Because when we look at King Darius, it seems that he might have gained a knowledge of Daniel's God. And we think, way, good, he's got it. And yet his heart remained unchanged. He hadn't come under God's saving grace. Look with me at verses 18 through to 28. I'll just read those verses again. I think it's worth reading them. Then the king returned to his palace and he spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him. And he couldn't sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he trusted in his God. Well, I'll end it just there for a minute. So finally today, just want to think about deliverance and judgment. Now, I can't remember if I told you this the last time I was here, back in January, and it was just before Rob was due to go off for the massive treatment that you've had, Rob, and it's great to see you here today, brother. But Ali and I used to work, as you know, for Off the Fence, and Ali used to go out on the streets of an evening, and I happened to say this to a minister friend of mine. He said, "What did you used to do then, ma'am?" I said, "I used to work on the streets in Brighton." He said, "Would you like to rephrase that?" And I hadn't really thought of it in that respect. But anyway, while I was out one night, so I can't remember if you were with me, Ali, or not, but there was a group of us on the street, and there was a fella down in the old steam, and he came up to us, and he was clearly quite in need. So we introduced ourselves, as we always did, that we were a Christian charity. And he suddenly stops and he said, "Are you a Noah?" I said, "Hey, sorry, I was completely on the wrong wavelength, as you probably would gather." I said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean." He said, "Are you a Noah? You say you're a Christian, do you really know God?" And then he threw a real bombshell. He said, "Does God know you?" And of course that harks back to Matthew 7, doesn't it? When Jesus said, "Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom." And it's a really challenging verse, isn't it? Are we doing things for God, or are we doing things in our own strength? Do you really know God? These officials, they were absolutely overjoyed. The plans worked. You can imagine they were turning cartwheels around. Daniel's been thrown to the lion's den. And this distraught King Darius, all he can do, you can imagine his heart as he places his seal over that stone to seal Daniel in. All he can do is commend Daniel to the Lord. Verse 16. We see it there, don't we? Verse 16, let me just flick it over. So the king gave him order and said, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Well, you know, just a little bit like the gospel accounts of the resurrection, when we are told that at first light the women came to the tomb, Darius got up and he hurried to the lion's den. Verse 20, a voice in probably that was more in anguish and expectation than anything else, Darius called out to Daniel, "Servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Well, on the face of it, that little statement might seem encouraging. He's not ruling out that God is able to rescue Daniel. But there's no personal affirmation of God in that statement, is there? Darius says, "Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you?" Going back to the street for a minute, it was amazing how many of the folks on the street used to say to me, "Oh, Merv, say one to me, to your God, will you?" No. They used to say that a lot. you know, like many today, the absolute uniqueness of Almighty God's power and authority, his holiness, his omnipotence, his omniscience and omnipresence was lost on this man Darius. Even after all he's witnessed, after all he's heard through Daniel, you get the feeling that Daniel and he were quite close. I'd stop short of saying friends, because one was a king, the other was a servant. But you know, we see that today, don't we? The fact that God has revealed himself to us through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one the Bible testifies went to the cross for us, died and was buried. Third day risen from the dead, now at the right hand of the Father. The one who now lives by his Spirit in each one of us here today who love him. All of what God has done for us, purely as an act of his amazing grace and mercy, is just lost on so many people today, isn't it? It really is. And that concerns me greatly as a Christian. Because I've got friends who are not Christians. And it breaks my heart to think that I'll never see them again when the Lord comes. And you know, the cause of it is a bit like this man Darius. Pride. Their pride prevents them from truly letting go. We sang that great hymn this morning, I surrender all. That means letting go. Admitting that we're licked, if you like, that we're guilty of sin. And knowing that there's nothing that we can do about that situation other than coming to the cross in repentance. And yet the world can't do that because of its pride. And as a response to God's grace and mercy to us, our desire should be to demonstrate that same grace and mercy to those around us. Those who may have acted unjustly towards us. I'm sure that every one of us in our dealings with people have felt that we've been dealt unjust by them. And yet, Daniel shows forgiveness here, doesn't he? Shows absolute forgiveness. May the king live forever. He says in verse 21, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. There's nothing but grace there, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Daniel's being absolutely honest. May the king live forever. That's forgiveness, isn't it? And of course, that's something that Jesus challenges us to do, isn't it? However challenging that might be. And on the other side of the coin, we might feel that the king's judgment is harsh. I noticed Alison's voice when we got round to the 120 satraps and their families being thrown into the lions. It seems wrong, doesn't it? It seems unjust. But we should also see it as a warning for the future. Because the scriptures teach us a day will come when all who deny God, all who seek to destroy his people, they'll come face to face with the living God. And it's, the Bible says, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, as we close this morning, I'm sure as we look at the affairs of this world, especially with an eye on what the Bible says through men like Daniel, through Ezekiel, through what the Lord Jesus shared with the disciples and then what he shared with John in the Revelation, we should be encouraged to think about God's deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den. That on that day, when Jesus comes again in glory, we too will be free. We too will be set free from our lion's den, if you like. From all who seek to destroy us because of our faith in Almighty God. See, like us in his day, Daniel faced ungodly rulers. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. Then there was that character Belshazzar, Darius. And of course he'd go on to serve Cyrus as well, the king of Persia. All men who on the face of it seemed to know the God of Daniel. They'd witnessed Daniel's God through the work that Daniel did with his friends. And yet none of these kings truly confessed in their own hearts that there is only one God. One God who is alive and endures forever. whose kingdom and rule, unlike earthly kingdoms, will never end. The one who hears us when we call out to him, and through Jesus rescues us. The one who from the beginning has performed signs and wonders that point to his authority over all things and over all men. The one who at the appointed time will bring all things under his authority. This was Daniel's God. And the challenge for us today, is he also our God? The one we put our trust and faith in for our salvation. The one who delivers us. Lord God, this morning, may you bless this word. May it not return to you empty, Lord God. May we be challenged by what we've heard this morning. And yet, may we glorify you, just as Daniel did, giving thanks to you for all that you do. Father God, we look at our world today and we see things that trouble us. Help us, like Daniel, Lord, to bring them before you. And to know that you, Lord God, when the end finally comes, will have rule and reign over this entire world. Lord God, we long for that day to come. And until then, Lord, we pray that you'll give us the same strength and forthrightness for you that you gave to Daniel. Lord, will you help us in this, we pray, in the name of the living God. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you very much, Mel.
Thanks, Ali.
Really good. Thank you. God bless you. Just wonder, I've got a few, just two Bible verses to finish off with. But just when you were saying about that, and Daniel,